Good morning, men. We've been asked to read 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, we could have Ed quote it, so I'll see if I can do that for you. You're going to need your phones out, so you just as well as look it up. 1 Corinthians 13, a passage we've heard before. The way of love. I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not loved. I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have five powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not loved, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned but have not loved, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For me, know in part that we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see a mirror to mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, that then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, and these three are the greatest of love. This morning it's family and fathers, you know, and we've all had those. How's it going for you now? He'll be telling us about a recent incident in his life that he gave and delivered 1 week after this event at the Wednesday group. He's the man in the mirror ministry, so if you take your camera out and hit that button there, you can follow along and have that inner perspective as he goes through this. He raises his own support. Been doing this for, I think, over 2 years. He's helping men sharpen men, and he's also a 1973 graduate of Fairview High School, like me. Here he is. Welcome, Rob Butzer.
I want a hug from you.
You got one.
There you go. Thank you, Steve. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
And I mean that in a very respectful way. I'd like to open us with in prayer, if you don't mind.
Amen.
Lord, you're such an awesome God. Sometimes we forget just how big you are and just how much you love us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for blessing us in so many ways. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we can come together and have this time of fellowship. Lord, I pray that you would just move me aside and that you would speak this morning to all of us, speak the words that you want us to hear. Thank you, Lord, for thank you for your Holy Spirit being in our presence this morning. Thank you so much. We love you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to try not to offend anybody this morning, but good morning. I love chocolate. I love ice cream. I love chocolate ice cream. It is awesome. Truth be told, no, I don't. And no, it's not. I don't love ice cream, and it is not awesome. I don't want to, if you don't mind, I'd like to explain that. Don't want to offend anybody, but in my opinion, Two of the most misused and overused words in the English language are love and awesome. What or who is awesome?
God.
Thank you. In my opinion, the only who or what that is awesome is God. The Flatirons out there, those are awesome. Why? Because those are part of God's creation. When God used Moses to part the Red Sea, that was awesome. When Jesus Christ defied his own law of nature and walked on water, that was awesome. When he rose from the grave, died on the cross and rose from the grave so that we could be with him in heaven, that is awesome. But I want to talk about love today. Mostly because I've been convicted recently that I've been overusing that term. So I've been trying to catch myself. I think love is another overused word. I mean, if I tell my wife I love her and then turn around and say, yeah, but I also love a really good steak, I don't think that's going to go over real well. So trying to use that word more carefully. Love is one of the core values of Man in the Mirror. Love, vision, excellence, and resilience. And I want to focus on love today. The word love is used in the Bible in the King James Version 442 times. In the English Standard Version, 684 times. So I think it's a kind of an important word. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, love is listed first in Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So the implication there, at least in my mind, is love is pretty important. So how do we define love? Webster defines love as strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. Okay, that's pretty good. My own opinion, I think the Bible has a better definition. In 1 John 4:8, John tells us God is love. There's so much written in the Bible about love, and I know there are multiple words for love in the Greek language. I'm not going to cover those, but let's talk about the word love in the English language. And let's look at the full context of when John said God is love. He wrote in his first letter, 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." This is how God's love was revealed among us. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God remains in us. And his love is perfected in us. So going beyond what John said we ought to love one another. Jesus made it a commandment. In Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, when Jesus was asked by one of the Pharisees, "Teacher, which commandment is the greatest in the law?" His response was, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Notice Jesus didn't make it a mere suggestion. He didn't say we ought to love our brothers, or, hey, it'd be nice if you love your brothers. He made it a commandment. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I don't know about you, but when Jesus gives a commandment, I think I need to pay attention. He also confirmed it in John 13, 34 and 35. One of my favorite verses or passages. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I've attended a couple of marriage retreats fairly recently. And a couple of things that I've heard is that, they always say that love is not an emotion, it's a choice. When you get up in the morning, think about your wife. Choose to love your wife when you get up in the morning. Sometimes it's not easy. But I think it's necessary. And I think it's also necessary when we get up in the morning, I choose to love my fellow man. I choose to love my brothers and sisters. Since love comes from God, as John stated, if we love one another, then we can say that God's love is in us. And his love is made complete in us. Out of the overflow of love we can receive and feel toward God, and because our hearts should be filled to overflowing with God's love, it should be totally natural for us to love our brothers and sisters. I recently heard a pastor say that love requires relationship. Wow, that sure knocks ice cream out of the whole equation. I don't have a relationship with ice cream, but I do love my wife, and I love my brothers. Just a real quick example. I was recently talking with a really good friend of mine. He's in a Bible study that we share together, and I was asking him about the group. It's a men's small group, and the first words that came out of his mouth, I love those guys. He said, some of those guys in that group, a couple of those guys in that group are my 2 a.m. friends. He said, I can call them at 2 a.m. and they'll come running to help lift me up. And if they call me at 2 a.m., I'm there for them. Brothers, I hope you have 2 a.m. brothers. I've got a couple of 2 a.m. brothers. And I'll tell you, nothing beats that. As John said in 1 John 3:16 to 18, By this we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone with earthly possessions sees his brother in need, but withholds his compassion from him, how can the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word and speech, but in action and truth. Excuse me. James took it a little bit further in James 2, 15 to 18. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you tells him, go in peace, stay warm and well fed, but does not provide for his physical needs, what good is that? So too, faith by itself, if it does not result in action, is dead. But someone would say, I have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Both James and John tell us that we are to show our love through our works out of the overflow of our heart for our love, our overflow of our love for the Lord. Going back to 1 Corinthians that Steve spoke about this morning, something to think about. The writer of Hebrews said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And yet Paul said, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love is awfully important, isn't it? I said I've been convicted recently. My mom, my mom passed away less than 2 months ago. While she was sick, I went out to visit my dad. They were moving, while she was sick and in the hospital, I helped him move into a senior home. My dad and I never really got along that well. I love him. I have a lot of father wounds, and didn't know how to love him. I found out. If you've never read The Five Love Languages, I would strongly recommend you read that book. It's not only how to love your spouse and love your wife, it's about all relationships. And I learned this when I visited with my dad. I didn't realize I was trying to speak the wrong love language to my dad. My dad's speaking love language. There's two love languages. There's what you speak and what you hear, what you receive. My dad's primary love language to speak is acts of service. So I thought his love language was acts of service. I was always trying to do things for him. And when I would do something for him, he would say, "Thank you, that was very nice." And I was floored. I was like, "Dad, I'm speaking your love language. Why are you not receiving?" I found out that's not his love language, his primary love language to receive. We had a kind of a big blowout. He literally chewed me out, and I left the room. I hope you don't mind me sharing. I left the room. I said, "I'm not going to deal with this anymore." And he followed me into the room a couple minutes later. And he said, "Son, I don't know what to do." And I said, "Dad, I don't know what to do." He said, "I don't think you love me." I said, "Dad, you know I love you." He said, "No, I don't." I said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Just hug me." His primary love language to speak was acts of service, but his primary love language to receive is physical touch. The five love languages: words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time, physical touch. He wanted physical touch. I hugged that man for 2 minutes at least. We get along now. It's amazing. I finally spoke the love language he has always wanted to receive from me. So, I share that with you. Because y'all have a tremendous amount of love for each other in this room. I hope you're speaking the love languages. And don't be shy, guys. If your love language is physical touch, hug guys. My primary love languages are quality time and physical touch. And I love hugs. I will hug every one of you in here and love all over you and feel the love back. Thank you. But anyway, I'm going to wrap this up, try to wrap it up a little bit. John tied our faith and love together in 1 John 3:23 when he said, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son," pulling faith and love together. "This is a commandment that we should believe," faith, "in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we should love one another just as he commanded us." We have such a great opportunity to live out Jesus' commandments by showing our love for our brothers. I want to share something with you. I could not put this in better words. Patrick Morley wrote The Christian Man, and he said it this way: "We are made for relationships. A godly friendship can change everything. There is a peculiar math to friendship. Shared joys are doubled and shared sorrows are cut in half." Excuse me. Friendship is a central theme of Jesus' life and teaching. He tells us to encourage each other. "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." In fact, loving one another is the evidence of our identity as disciples. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. When the world beats you down, Jesus has a cure for that: godly friends. When Jesus came to the tomb of his friend Lazarus, he was deeply moved. After that, he had the stone that sealed the tomb taken away. Jesus prayed. And after he prayed, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, and this is what I have missed for years. I've heard this story, read this story. Don't miss this, guys. This is so cool. Jesus said to them, "Take off their grave clothes and let him go." Jesus brought Lazarus back to life, but when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was still bound in grave clothes. Instead of removing them himself, which he could have easily done, Jesus told the other friends of Lazarus, "You help him take off the grave clothes and finish setting him free." The Lazarus story is a real story about a real man, but it is also a metaphor for a man who has been beaten down by the world. The juggernaut has rolled over him, crushed his dreams, hopes, and relationships. He is overwhelmed, withdrawn, isolated, alone, spiritually dead. The only real hope for such a man is that Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, will be his friend and raise him from the dead and arrange for some friends to remove his grave clothes. Friends are not God's backup plan. Friends are God's plan A. Jesus will resurrect a man from the dead, but then he gives the joy, privilege, and responsibility of fully setting the man free to his friends. Wow. That's why we're here, to set each other, to hold each other and help set each other free. I hope you get that. I get that. Christopher J. H. Wright, in his book, Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit, said it, I think, quite well. Our eternal life is received by faith and demonstrated by love. We are reminded in John 15:9 when Jesus tells us, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." Just a few verses later in verse 12, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." When we as followers and disciples of Christ show our love for our fellow man, we can become the light of the world that he's asked us to be. I'm going to repeat one more time one of my favorite verses in the Bible. John 13:35. "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Lord, God, Father, thank you. Thank you so much that you have demonstrated love, real love, a love that we want to appreciate and emulate. Help us, Lord, to be a light to the world. Help us to love each other, to love those out, especially the lost in this world, and bring them to you. Help us to be the light that you have asked us to be. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We love you, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.